This is Red Eyes Radio. My name is Henrik Palmgren, and it's good to have you with us. Welcome to all new and regular listeners. We are coming to you from Gothenburg in Sweden. You can follow us worldwide through our website, redeyescreations.com. On the site, you'll find radio interviews, webcasts, films, and other video material. We do interviews with researchers, authors, filmmakers, and a wide variety of subject matters that we consider to be important, interesting, urgent, and intriguing. Information that needs to be known. Follow along in our website for frequently updated news. Check out our Twitter feeds, our YouTube channels, RSS feeds, and of course sign up for the new free newsletter, all so that you can follow us at your convenience. All right, today we have David Icke back with us on the program, and we are going to talk about the swine flu issue. We're going to talk about the vaccination thing. And I also want to ask David a little bit about the ongoing G20 meeting in Pittsburgh that's going on right now. His website, as you know, is davidicke.com. Follow the headlines, check out his newsletter, and of course his other materials. The books and DVDs are available there for you. And there's one thing here we want to check off here first, though, so to speak. David is coming to Sweden, here to Gothenburg, Saturday the 24th of October. And anyone from Sweden, Finland, Norway, or Denmark should definitely come over. The venue takes about 700 people, but even if you're in the UK, Germany, Holland, or one of the Eastern Baltic countries, you're more than welcome as well, of course. It was quite a while ago, I think, David was in Sweden. I think the last time he was in Stockholm as well, so all the people around Gothenburg will have a treat, that's for sure. You can order tickets at the website anarchos.se. I can spell this for people. anarchos.se. That's anarchos.se. We will have this linked up on our website as well, of course. You can click through from there easily. The site is in Swedish, but you will find information there in English as well. To order tickets, more information about the location. There's plenty of hotels, hostels around that area for anyone who's coming from abroad and want to stay over for the night. So with that, David, welcome back to the program. How's it going, my friend?
Very good, Henrik. Yeah, I just come back from Amsterdam, just a fantastic event there, another all-day event, which is all I do now because there's so many dots to connect. It takes all day, but there is a terrific awakening going on, and we just need to expand it and expand it and expand it as fast as we can.
What do you think are some of the most kind of key issues that are going on right now? I mentioned some of them here at the beginning, the swine flu issue, the vaccinations. Different countries are tackling this differently. Some will have mandatory vaccinations, it seems like. Up here in Sweden, we're so lucky here, David, because they're actually giving it to us for free up here. So that's the health system for you up here, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, free poison. Hey, then that's good, that. Yeah.
It's just incredible.
Pay your taxes, get free poison. Well, you know, when Britain declared war on Germany in 1939, when Germany invaded Poland, there was a period, it was about 8 months, when nothing seemed to be happening before, you know, the whole thing exploded in France, etc. And this became known to history and at the time as the phony war. This 8 months when we were at war, but nothing seemed to be happening. And in many ways, we've been involved in a phony war over this last period, where the conspiracy was being increasingly exposed to more and more people. But there wasn't that direct engagement, if you like, between the people who are becoming aware and the system, the control system. Well, we've reached a point now where that's going to end. The phony war is over, because we are going to be faced with a series of attacks, if you like, in many ways, to try to frighten us and push us into accepting dramatic changes in the world in many areas. And in terms of the so-called swine flu vaccination program, they wish to cull the population and have the ability to do that almost at will through the insertion of nanotechnology microchips, which I've been talking about for a long time. And because the body is a biological computer system, once you get chips inside you, which can be externally accessed, then there's a computer-computer interface, if you like, in which the human body computer can be manipulated and dismantled mentally, emotionally, and physically. That's the idea. And we're at the point where we really do have to be adult here and face where we're at. It is what it is. And if we face it, we can overcome it. But if we go on any longer, either denying it or lying to ourselves that it's not really as it seems to be, well, it is. And if we don't face it now, then we're going to be in serious trouble in the not too distant future. What I found to, you know, greatly encouraging, enormously encouraging, is the fantastic work that people have done in all their different expressions to get the information about the background to the so-called swine flu virus and the vaccine out across the web and on radio shows like this all across the world. And it has had a magnificent effect. 5 years ago, they would have walked this. It would have been a cakewalk. But it's not going to be a cakewalk now. But they know that, and they're going to have things in hand to throw at us to try to break our resistance. For instance, I don't see this virus being as non-effective as it has been so far as we go into what we call the future. People have had a few days with it, even if it was even the swine flu virus, as they call it, because it's got the same symptoms as seasonal flu and other forms of flu. The heck knows.
That's right.
And anyway, the effect on people has been mild, and there hasn't been this panic once the initial attempt to panic us was played and blew out. And they know this, so I don't see them coming back with a virus of the same strength. I think they intend to up the ante on that, in an attempt to have more casualties, therefore more fear, therefore more people having the a vaccine, and then to play the vaccinated off against the non-vaccinated. They'll use this idea of it's because large numbers of people have not had it. We haven't got herd immunity. That's why people are still going down with it and all this stuff. And we need to stay calm, and we need to stay totally focused on the fact that we ain't budging, because it's not the non-vaccinated that are a danger to the vaccinated. It's actually vice versa. Because the vaccinated are being inoculated with live virus, many other things, and that can be passed on. And it's the people who are vaccinated who are the danger to the rest, not the other way around. We need to keep remembering that. And when they're saying, oh, you know, these casualties, we must have the vaccine. Well, the people that created the virus are the people that created the vaccine, the same force. And the vaccine is not there to protect anybody from the virus, but simply to use the virus to get access to the bodies of what they want, ideally billions of people. And so this is a real challenging time. And they're going to be throwing economic things at us as well. Now this Iran thing starting to build up again. And when you see the writings of these people over the years, this network of families behind this, they talk about the time, and we're fast heading there, when they are going to throw everything at us and try to get us in such a state of distress, of despair, of fear, of bewilderment, that we will acquiesce and allow them, those who covertly behind it, to come forward to save us. And how will they do that? By changing the structure of global society so they control it completely from the center. And so, you know, like I say, the phony war's over, Henrik. You know, this is not sometime never over the rainbow. Now we are facing it.
Yeah.
We need to have backbone and not to acquiesce and not to allow ourselves to be intimidated into acquiescence.
Absolutely, and you mentioned that that, you know, when people are inoculated, they get the vaccines, and of course they target certain groups in society, like the police, for instance, up here, medical personnel, obviously, but also government employees, people in general who are among many other people in society, so to speak. And that's a danger here, that it could spread in that way. How about in regards to natural remedies? I've heard, you know, various sources that you can, through natural means, resist this regular flu. But if it is indeed made in a laboratory, does that mean that it's, do you think, does that mean that it's more dangerous than anything else out there? Could it mean that that will actually, people will get affected and get this disease or the flu?
Well, there's a lot of speculation going on, and of course the answer to that, if you're being definite, is we don't know. But you can look at the situation that we're faced with and make some pretty good judgments. First of all, when over the years, people in the know on the inside have spoken out about this, often in situations that they thought was, quote, safe, but there were people in the vicinity that heard who passed it on. One consistent theme has been laboratory-created viruses and vaccines to cull the population. And, you know, when you look at the writings of think tanks, Illuminati family network think tanks like the Project the New American Century, where they actually talked in their document in 2000, which predicted 9/11, by the way, magnificently, as anyone who've read that document will see, because they knew it was coming. They talk about creating bioweapons, in effect, that target specific genotypes. So this is where we're at. I mean, you know, the Nazis were playing at it compared with these people, who are actually were the force behind the Nazis anyway.
Yeah.
And for sure, they want to reduce the population. Now, if you want to do that, and you don't want the cause of it, at least initially, to be identified, so that people will say no to the cause, vaccinations, etc., then what you do is you target the immune system. You know, it's like with AIDS. People don't die of AIDS. They die of AIDS-related diseases, as they call them, because of a shot immune system, which then opens them up to a range of things that would normally have been dealt with when the immune system was healthy and sharp. And this is why there is a war on the human immune system. There is a war electromagnetically and through the microwaves of mobile phones, etc. There's a war through chemical additives in food and drink and water. A war through pharmaceutical drugs, through vaccinations overwhelmingly, because it's a simple thing. I mean, if people just take a step back, take a breath and look at it, right? Don't get too close to it. Look at it dispassionately. Look at it logically. Even before this whole so-called swine flu situation arose, we're still giving around 25 and growing vaccinations to children before the age of 2, when their immune system is still forming, when their brains are still forming. And while that's happening, this tidal wave of poison is being injected into them individually and through cocktails of vaccines like the MMR. And just let's think about it, you know, with a bit of logic. What the heck do you think that's going to do when a still emerging immune system gets that kind of treatment? Of course, what you're doing is you're devastating the true efficiency, power, and effectiveness of the immune system for life. Yeah. And that's the idea. And this swine flu situation is an add-on to that. It's another layer, another level of it. And they have created the virus. They put the virus out. And now they're using that as the excuse for a mass vaccination. Now, if you look at it again, dispassionately, keep calm and look at this calmly. First of all, the virus was supposed to have broken out on a pig farm in Mexico. Okay, I asked you this, where's the pigs? Where's the pigs now? No one's talking about pigs. It's swine flu. Why isn't there a panic about pigs? You know, apart from the idiotic Egyptian government who culled the pigs in Egypt immediately after this outbreak in Mexico, no one's talking about pigs. The World Health Organization has said there's no need to slaughter pigs because they're not a danger to people. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, if that case, Henrik, how did it break out on a pig farm in Mexico? Because it didn't. It didn't. It broke out in a laboratory in the United States. Then you have this ludicrous lie that the World Health Organization and pharmaceutical companies, all controlled in the end by the same people, like Novartis in Switzerland, Baxter International in Illinois, and SmithKline-Beecham and all the rest of it, or GlaxoSmithKline, they call it now. I can't keep up with all these bloody mergers that they keep having. GlaxoSmithKline is called now. What you're looking at is a situation where we were told that those companies and the World Health Organization set out after the outbreak in Mexico in April to find a vaccine for this virus. Then you find that the first application for the patent for the vaccine by Novartis was in 2005, came through in the first months of this year. The Baxter International put their patent application in August 2008. Further research seems to point to 2007 now. And so it's all been long planned, and it's playing out now. We had a situation, and still have, but there's not, the swine flu numbers have stabilized and indeed have been falling rapidly in recent weeks. But we had a situation where the government said that people with swine flu symptoms should no longer go to the doctor. Instead, they set up call centers. And these call centers were manned by people that had a few hours training, including 16-year-olds who knew nothing about what they were doing. And people were told to ring this number and give these totally incompetent people, in terms of what they were supposed to be doing, their symptoms. And what did these people do who didn't know their backside from their elbow in terms of medicine? They said, incredibly, "You've got swine flu."
Yeah.
"Hello, hello, caller. What you got? Oh, yeah, you got swine flu." And so it goes on.
Yeah.
And then what they did is send this Tamiflu stuff, this rubbish, gives children nightmares around in response. Now, the reason that I tell you this story is not only because it's ludicrous what happened, but the contracts for those call centers and the organization of those call centers were in train before the swine flu broke out, they tell us, in Mexico in April. So this is all you've got to do is keep connecting the dots and look at the timescale, and you find very clearly that all this has been planned a long, long time. And then you ask the question, why? Why? I mean, are these pharmaceutical companies and the World Health Organization, are they having some kind of psychic trial? I mean, whether they can psychically predict that this swine flu is going to break out in April 2009, so they'll get the patents ready? It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. What they're doing, they've done, is bring this forward because, quite simply, they want access to every human body on planet Earth. Now, why do they do that? Why do they want that? Because it's nothing to do with protecting us. It's nothing to do with swine flu, clearly, because all this was in train before we ever heard of swine flu in Mexico. So there's another reason, and that reason is they want to cull the population. They want to insert mass microchipping, nanotechnology microchipping, which can externally allow the manipulation of us mentally, emotionally, and physically on a body computer level, and to take people out from a distance through what they call the death chip and what have you, which they have the ability to do once they access the body computer system. They can't get to our consciousness. It's much too far out vibrationally for them. So they need to get to us on a body computer level, which is operating within the vibrational field that they operate in. And that's what they're doing. And without the fantastic work of people who've been doing so much to get this information out through the internet, through things like YouTube and through websites and through radio shows like this. They are, in terms of this network of control freaks and conspirators and very, very sick people, are not going to have the breeze that they would have had 5 years ago. We need to stick with it and not start, you know, stepping back from the stand we've taken, no matter what intimidation. Because if you have the vaccine, well, you're in real trouble.
Yeah, and then on top of that, of course, we have the whole monetary scheme as well going hand in hand with this agenda, because pharmaceutical companies are going to make billions on this. And you even have over in the UK, I think his name was Professor Sir Roy Anderson, who is, he's paid about £116,000. And he's a government virus expert in this, but he's getting paid about £160,000 by swine flu vaccine manufacturers. It doesn't get more obvious than that, you know?
No, what you've got, Henrik, of course, is this spinning revolving door. You find it all over the system. The revolving door, whereby people who work for government then go through the revolving door and they work for organizations like drug companies and Monsanto, etc., and vaccine manufacturers, that the government's departments that they worked in are supposed to police and are supposed to protect the people from. And then the revolving door keeps going, and these people then come back into government. And it's the corporations through this system that run governments on behalf of the corporations. I'm just writing a new book at the moment, and I've done a section on Goldman Sachs, who were fundamentally involved right at the heart of the economic collapse in and banking crash in September last year. Mm. And when you see, Henrik, the revolving door personnel numbers between Goldman Sachs and government, and not just Goldman Sachs and government, by the way, Goldman Sachs and the Treasury part of government, and from the Treasury part of government back to Goldman Sachs, it is staggering. Goldman Sachs run the Treasury Department of the United States. And of course, the Goldman Sachs is a Rothschild front. So the Rothschilds run the financial institutions of the United States. And this is what's happening right across the system. And so when we bring it round to this so-called swine flu pandemic, you have the situation where the drug companies, the Novartis, the Baxter International, etc., that have produced the vaccine, are owned and controlled by the same families. In the end, it goes back to the Rothschilds at the center of the spider's web on a human level anyway. The same people that control and own them, it's actually created from the start the World Health Organization, which is an organization that was set up to centralize power in one building and around one table over world health policy. And they did this by enacting legislation that says when the World Health Organization itself declares a pandemic of a certain level, then the legislation kicks in and the World Health Organization can start dictating health policy and vaccination policy to governments. It's got nearly 200 governments that are part of its cabal. So there you've got the World Health Organization and the drug companies controlled by the same people, indeed, you know, created by them. And then you look at the Centers for Disease Control in America, the Food and Drug Administration, and their equivalent all over the world, in Sweden. And again, they supposed to be policing and protecting the public from the outrages of the corporations. But hey, hold on. They're all controlled by the same force. And if you want to control a game and you want to know the outcome before the game starts, then you have to control all sides. And that's what they've done. And this whole situation that we're now facing has been put together in fine detail over a long, long period while the vast majority of people were watching the game show or the game or whatever and getting on with their lives in various ways. These pieces have been moved into place. So they use the American military laboratories to create the virus, their drug companies to create the vaccine, their World Health Organization to say everyone must be vaccinated with the vaccine, the so-called public protection agencies like the Food and Drug Administration say, yeah, we agree with the World Health Organization, this is what has to happen. And at the same time, on another level, they've been moving changes in the military, involvement in domestic law enforcement, to start moving the military into being on the streets and policing domestically in countries like the United States. So as a result of 9/11, of course, an engineered problem, reaction, solution, create the problem, get the reaction off of the solution, they created something called Northern Command or NORTHCOM, which is the domestic military organization that is there, it says here, to protect the American mainland from, or homeland as they call it, just like the Nazis did, from terrorism, etc., and also to be there in terms of times of an emergency or some kind of catastrophe. So all that's been moved into place. They're now talking about getting permission to have virtually 400,000 troops on the streets of America. Of course, if you look around the internet in the last few days, you'll see footage of troops on the streets in America already. Yep. And at the G20 summit in Pittsburgh, they're using this latest sound technology that they fire at crowds to disperse them. All this stuff is going on in what was once called the land of the free. And what is happening in America is designed to happen everywhere. So you see how all these different pieces in the puzzle come together. And they're coming together, Henrik, at this time, which is why, as I say, the phony war is over and we need to look it in the face.
Yeah. Do you think they strike, so to speak, at this time as well, because they managed to manufacture so many different problem situations that are unfolding now, be it the swine flu or the economic situation? And it just seems to me that it's a heck of a pressure, you know, right now as well, as we seen some of these pictures from people walking around on the streets in Pittsburgh, for instance. They're very, very clever as well in regards to how they deal with people, because you can have a crowd of peaceful protesters walking around, and for all we know, there could be people in there who are consciously stirring up the demonstrators, or police come in there and take one guy or whatever who's in on it, actually.
Exactly.
Drag him away or whatever, and this get people aroused and actually turn violent, and of course you will get managed to take a lot of those people away. You know, one guy we saw today on YouTube was taken away in an unmarked car by five military people, for instance. And this is the way they do it. They could amass the people who have, at least have the voice and the courage to go out there and say, you know, no, we don't go along with this. We refuse to go along with your plan. But they just have to show up and they could haul them all away, so to speak. And that's a danger here as well. So the question obviously becomes, how do we show them, so to speak, that we are out there and we don't agree, but can we also avoid not being dragged into it? Or is that just simply a consequence of the time that we're in right now, that then it needs to be some kind of confrontation? What do you think about this, David?
No, I don't think it needs confrontation. It needs non-cooperation in many, many areas of our lives. You know, I reckon in full knowledge of what they're doing, the number of people in that situation, absolute full knowledge of the game and supporting it, the agenda, it's a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of the global population. The vast overwhelming majority are the targets of those few. Now, they because of the way that they've been working this over a long, long period of time, because this has been projected forward, people would not, who are hearing this for the first time, would say it is impossible to project forward what is happening now, way, way back. I mean, I'm talking hundreds of years, by the way.
Yeah.
That sounds fantastic. But on another day, we can go into why that's possible. And it's possible because it's not only this reality that's involved in this. This is why people have been able to predict what is coming and talk about technology that wasn't even known about at the time that they were predicting it. It's because there is another force behind this, and this is why they can project forward so far. And this is the period that they've been aiming towards. And of course, when you look at the fact that they control the military, they control the police, they control the governments, they control the pharmaceutical cartel, they control the media, on and on you go, it seems a lost cause. But the target population has something that they don't even begin to have, and that's numbers.
Yeah.
And this is a key reason, there are others too, but it's a key reason why they want to massive color the population, because they know that if the numbers come together in anything like unity, then the game's up, it's all over. And so the idea has been right the way through, and we're going to see even more intense efforts for this coming up. The idea has been to divide and rule the mass of the population so there is not that unity. Set them at war against themselves. Set them in competition with each other. And we now have to put those things aside and realize that we, as the target population, whether we're Muslim, Christian, Jewish, Hindu, black, white, sky blue, pink, middle class, American, you know, pauper, it doesn't matter, because we're all the target, and we need to come together in unity for the sake not just of ourselves but of children and grandchildren and their experience and their future experience, and come together as one. And if we withdraw our support for the system in terms of our acquiescence to it, our cooperation with it, then the system can't function. And this must include that the dark suits, as I call them, in the lower and middle ranks of administration, in governments and companies and media and all these different institutions, they need to start breaking ranks. And you guys in uniform, right? You need to start breaking ranks, because I tell you what you guys are doing. You are creating a nightmare prison global state that would make George Orwell wince for your families and for your children and for your grandchildren. You are doing that now. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
And someday, very soon, you're going to have to explain that to those children and grandchildren. What were you doing, mummy, daddy, granddad, grandma, when this all happened? Yeah. Oh, I was helping to bring it in, dear. So they have to start breaking ranks. You know, we can hear sort of bangs in the distance, and we can go, okay, how can I explain this away so it's no problem to me? And then the bangs get louder, and you just have to explain it away a bit more stupidly and outrageously. And then suddenly people appear over the hill shooting in all directions. And then you've got to say, hold on, there is a problem. I got to face this. Now, if we faced it earlier, before they appeared over the hill, we wouldn't get as far as it has.
Yeah.
We now have to draw a line in the sand and say, okay, we could have seen this earlier. We could have responded earlier. We didn't. But now it's bloody so obvious, we need to respond now. We need to respond together. So put away your blooming religious differences and your income differences and your color differences and your culture differences, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
Or we are going to be divided and ruled into a tyranny that would, you wouldn't even think of the depth that they want to go. We can do this, but we have to come together now and stop cooperating in all areas of our lives. Stop cooperating with anything that is part of the system of further imposing the will of the few upon the many. It's simple things like, When they fine someone for putting a rubbish bin out on the wrong day or in the wrong place, like they're doing in Britain now, then the whole of that community should put should put their rubbish bins out on the wrong day, week after week after week. That's just a very simple example. But there are many other much more profound and much more kind of direct examples where we say we are not cooperating with this system. We are not cooperating with it. Okay, they want to put up vaccination programs and stuff at school. Okay, children don't go to school. And if that's how are they going to cope with that? When people get thrown out of their homes because their homes are foreclosed, then in vast numbers and even greater numbers when they crash the economy the next time, people need to stay put, and people around them need to support them staying put. You know, we've got this incredible situation where the banks and the greedy, selfish, unbelievably selfish and greedy people running them crash the economy, and people lose their jobs and can't pay their mortgages. And then the banks who caused the problem then come to these people and say, you can't pay your mortgage to us, you've got to leave your house. I mean, what are we doing walking out the front door?
Yeah,
that's fundamental injustice and incredible injustice. We should stay put. Now, if one stays put, then the power of the state comes down on them. When enormous numbers of people stay put, hundreds of thousands of people say, no, we're not moving because you are the cause of the reason that we can't pay you the mortgage payments. Then how are they going to do that? How are they going to cope with enormous numbers of people who won't leave their homes? The system couldn't cope. The system can only cope, Henrik, with our acquiescence and our fear of the consequences of saying no to the system. I tell you what, the consequences in terms of fear of continuing to say yes to the system are far, far, far worse than ever saying no is going
to
be.
Yeah, that's right. And that's why that needs to be pointed out as well, because, one of the problems here as well on top of this is the sheep mentality in a way of people. They're scared. They're frightened of making this type of action that you're talking about. And they don't want to be first in line in a way. You know, they give up and walk away. And so obviously the question, and this is the difficult question, how do you get the mass of people to know, so to speak, that they can do it? You know, we can do so much, and we can talk, we can spread the information, we can get the word out there, but nothing is going to happen until action is being taken by every single human being, you know, in one way. And that is the difficult part right now.
It doesn't take every human being, it just takes an enormous number. It doesn't even take half, to be fair. It takes an enormous number, because this system needs major acquiescence and compliance from the population to survive and function. It's nothing even like half the population has to do this. And of course, many people, most people probably won't. They'll acquiesce. It's the ones that don't that are going to change things. The ones that acquiesce are not. But let me. And in the end, all you can do is put information before people and let them look at it. And then they have to decide, you know, if the backbone's straight or it's bent. Whether they're going to run straight at this or turn around and hide. But, I mean, you can use the sheep analogy very profoundly here, because we've all seen vast herds or flocks of sheep controlled by a sheepdog and an authority figure called a shepherd. And that can only happen because the sheep follow the authority figure, and those that don't, they get fear from the sheepdog, and that brings them into line. You imagine if just a significant number, not even half, of those sheep said, A, we're not following the authority figure because we don't like where he's going, and B, we're not going to succumb to fear of the sheepdog, and we are going to go our own way. And those sheep start going in their own way. They start expressing their uniqueness, and they stop acquiescing with the authority figure and succumbing to fear. Where's the power of the shepherd now? Where's the power of the sheepdog now? They have no power except in acquiescence by the mass of the sheep to the perceived power that they have.
Yeah.
And we need to start seeing humanity in these terms very, very quickly. And I'll say this too, to those celebrities, some of them do, but to those celebrities who were aware of all this, right, you too, like the dark suits and like the uniforms, have got to start breaking ranks. Some are, but there's a lot more out there who have become aware and they understand to an extent what the game is. We need you to use your platform for a public platform to come out and also start talking about this.
Yeah.
Because your families and you yourselves are also the targets of these people. So we need to come together, all of us, to make the best contribution we can, and we can bring an end to this nonsense because we have the numbers to do it. Overwhelmingly, we have the numbers to do it. And so let's use that power to start to push this edifice, this what is becoming a tidal wave of control and surveillance and imposition. Let's just push it back because it's only moving at the speed it is because we're allowing it to happen.
You were talking about basically the manipulation of perception as well. I'm reminded of, for instance, the swine flu propaganda thing that was around even back in 1976, and that never played out. There's examples in the past when they've been using the same techniques, but nothing happened. You got those few who went and got the shots back then as well. But do you think it could be the same thing playing out now as well? It's only about manipulating human perception, and it actually isn't anything really going on, so to speak. I mean, it isn't chaos. It isn't lack in regards to the resources that are on this planet. I mean, we're doing good. Everything we need is right here on this planet, but we have this idea that the money's running out and everyone is, you know, we're not going to have anything to eat and nowhere to stay and live. And it's just, you know, I get so damn mad at it because people have to realize that it's just about manipulation, the perception of the people. And that is enough at this level. And that's what I'm upset about, you know?
Well, what happened to the SARS virus? I mean, all the media went into a frenzy about that, and then they just disappeared.
But yeah, another one.
There are two types, two versions of what I call problem, reaction, solution. Create the problem, get the reaction, do something, fear, outrage, and then offer the solution. That's one where you create a problem. But there's another, which I call no problem, reaction, solution. And that is purely perception. And that's what, like, weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. That was a no-problem reaction solution. The swine flu virus, in quotes, up to this point, has been a no-problem reaction solution. But there is such gathering awareness, such gathering skepticism about this whole swine flu situation, that if they continue on the level of no problem reaction solution, then they are not going to get this max vaccination through on the scale that they want and they require as a major, major step on this road to global control. So I suspect that they have things in the background to increase the effect to turn it into a perceived greater problem. Because at the moment, if they don't, then the numbers that are going to say no are going to be absolutely enormous, and that we need to keep working on this right up through these next few weeks and months to make that figure as large as possible, because that's the key. If enough people say no, these people have got a big, big problem.
Yeah, and then you have, of course, on top of this, media co-participation. Millions, for instance, marched on Washington D.C. a while back. Only a handful papers and news TV stations covered it, and that's another way they kind of manipulate our perception that nothing is really happening, but people are getting fucking mad about this and they want to do something about it. You know, even if it is a peaceful march, it's good that is taking place and that people go out on the streets and just show themselves, you know, and say something.
Yeah.
You know, so that's another thing that we have a problem here. All the people who are looking towards the mainstream media, obviously, to report on all these issues and to really tell us what's going on. So again, I mean, it's been said, and but again, it needs to be said over and over and over again that, like, turn off the fucking TV and you know, scrap the paper and go online and find some real information. I can't believe how for instance, parents go along with vaccinating their kids without even checking up some of the basic facts about that they contain mercury, for instance. And that's another one of these things. And if I'd like to ask you something about that as well, in regards to what you think is the most detrimental in regards to the vaccination. Do you think it's the live viruses that are in there, the mercury, or do you think that it could even be something else, something more that is being put into the vaccines? You mentioned nano microchips or something like that. Do you think that could be done? Do you think it is being done?
Well, I think it's definitely being done. I mean, I met a CIA scientist in 1997 who asked to meet me in America to tell me what he knew was going on in the background, because for various reasons that I talked about in my books and in a number of times in the past, he couldn't, because he was in a seriously controlled situation. And one of the things that he told me in 1997 was that microchips were so small in the secret projects, which is what we now call nanotechnology, that they could be inserted through hypodermic needles in vaccination programs, and that's what they were planning to do. Now, this is 1997, so it's been in place a very long time. For me, the microchips are the most important because they give external access to all the faculties and the systems of the body. So anything goes from that point on a body computer level. But of course, other things like the mercury and the squalene, substances they're putting into the vaccine to stimulate the immune system more powerfully for various reasons, none of which are good for humanity, by the way, they're all also extremely dangerous in terms of human health and also, you know, mental and emotional states. I mean, there have been a number of well-publicized examples of people who have had their personalities completely changed and gone into deep clinical depression with what turned out to be mercury poisoning. So all these things are together in this cocktail. You see, if you are manipulating a situation to get access to the global population, in effect, through a vaccination program, you're not just going to put one thing in there. You're going to get as much in there as you possibly can that you need to advance your agenda. You know, if people, after the massive information that's flying around now, still don't check it out, as you say, still go with official line, even when 50% of doctors in one poll in Britain said they weren't going to have it.
Sure. Yeah.
They basically deserve what's coming to them in effect, because they're just being completely stupid. The people that don't deserve it are the children that they're going to have done with it.
Yeah, that's right.
For me, it's a massive form of child abuse. To allow access by the state to your child's body without you checking it out is outrageous. But of course, there'll always be those people that just function on such a low level of awareness that they basically just are literally like two-legged sheep, just whatever the authority figure says they do, because the authority figure knows best and all the rest of it. And then just bring the sheepdog in, or these are the consequences of not having the vaccine, all right, yeah, I'll have it, and all the rest of it. But enormous numbers of people now are not like that, and they're the ones that are going to make the change, not the ones that are just in, you know, Microsoft 1999 mode or something, 97 mode, whatever, and not being upgraded to any form of consciousness yet, unfortunately.
What about, you know, again, you mentioned the kind of like the insiders, people who are at the ground floor and working on implementing many of these things that we've been talking about so far. You mentioned celebrities speaking out. You have those, the black suits and the white coats, of course. Do you think that the majority of those people are stupid as well, or are they manipulated, or are they given certain information to play along with the game, or do you think that many of these people actually are in on it as well, David?
Well, there's different levels of it. The number of people completely in on it, tiny. Because of compartmentalization, only a few need to know how all the pieces fit. Everyone else is just working on a piece, and they don't know what the other pieces are and how they connect, so they don't know what they're part of. You know, it's like when they construct very secret technology, they get different people in different places to build different parts of it, and only a few people put it together and see what it really is. This is how it works. Then you've got the next level, which are people who are in the professions of science and medicine and administration of government and health agencies, etc. And they are looking at self-interest. It's me, me, me. It's me, me, me that got us into this mess. If we just started doing what we know to be right instead of what we think is right for us in the moment, we'd transform this whole thing very quickly. But the me, me, me mentality says, well, I do know what's going on, and I could speak out, and I could expose it, or I could break ranks, but I'd lose my income. What about my house? What about this? What about me holidays abroad and all the rest of it? And that kicks in. Well, I tell you, you can forget about all that stuff if you have this vaccine in the way that they're planning to do it. Because what's the point of having all those material things if your health is shot, the health of your children is shot? I mean, come on, let's get some priorities together here. This is a time for people who know anything about what's going on to speak out about it, to expose it, and worry about the consequences. Don't even worry about the consequences. Never mind the consequences. The consequences of not doing it are far more profound and a lot more unpleasant than doing it. And this is the other thing, you know, if we take this onto another level. Is there someone with an AK-47 in some other dimension saying to, you know, consciousness, get in that body or I'll shoot? No. So let's ask this question. Why are we here now? Yeah. Why are we experiencing this now? I mean, did we get the calendar wrong or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Should we have been gone by now or whatever? No, of course not. We're here now because we chose to be here now. It wasn't that level of us that's experiencing it through the conscious mind. It was that level of us that people describe when they are in a near-death experience state, where everything that we think would be kind of miraculous in terms of expanded consciousness, where past, present, and future come together as one, where you have the ability to understand and to process information on a scale that we would say that is impossible within the confines of this body computer. But it's that level of massively expanded awareness before we come into this lens to experience this tiny frequency range we call the world. That's where these decisions and choice are made. It's like in the Matrix where the Oracle says to Neo, you've already made your choice. Now what you've got to do is understand why you made it. and that's where we are. We're here for a reason. And that reason is we're here to bring this control system to an end, because it's not been going on since we were born into this world or our bodies were. It's been going on for thousands of years and getting more and more power, centralizing more and more power as the decades and the centuries have passed. And bingo, now they're at the point where they can make their play for total global takeover. So we're here to make a contribution to make sure that doesn't happen.
Absolutely, and, yeah.
You know, people may say, who are you? Oh, I work in the shop. That's who I am. Oh, I run the office. That's who I am. Oh, I drive a bus. That's who I am. No. That's your experience. It's the way you have experienced your life up to this point. That's not who you are, and it's not why you're here. You are consciousness, all-knowing, all that is, has been, ever will be consciousness, having an experience as your name, as your job, as your culture, as your country. And now it's time to move your self-identity from little me to all-knowing me, all powerful me, and let's sort this out. and let's do what we've come to do, which is bring an end to this control system and restore paradise to this reality, which it was before these manipulators came in, and it will be when they've gone, because they are going, but it's going to go some way down the road yet, because they're not going to go quietly, obviously.
No, absolutely not. And do you think, like, ultimately, from your own point of view, is that something that you often fall back on in regards to when we see these kind of troubling times and all the problems that we are facing currently and maybe a few years down the road, that ultimately we are just having an extraordinary experience here in one way, and we shouldn't be... We should be alarmed, and we should be obviously worried about what's going on one level, on the human level, for the sake of the future of planet Earth here. But at the same time, it's no reason to be, you know, doom and gloom in one way. It's not over, so to speak. This is just an experience, and we're always going to make it in some way. It's a comfort, so to speak, in the fact that that there is more beyond this realm and more beyond what we can see in front of our eyes, so to speak. Is that something that you kind of fall back on and that makes you feel, I guess, a little bit better and when things are heavy? What do you think?
Well, I say to people, what's the worst that can happen? You leave this reality. You leave this tiny frequency range called visible light. That's it. But and when you leave it, you become expanded consciousness. All that is, has been, ever will be, in some kind of awareness of itself. Maybe even in awareness of itself, if you're awake, that open, your consciousness is that open. So I'm terrified, aren't I? I mean, that terrifies me. I mean, I can go from being David Icke in this body, experiencing this tiny reality, and then I, quote, die, and I become expanded consciousness. I mean, oh yeah, I'm terrified. I mean, it's going to happen anyway. Thank goodness it's going to happen. I want to stay here forever.
Well,
but I do
right.
want to stay here long enough to experience this.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had a friend this week, a great friend of mine, Yeva Gladwin, who died on Monday. And she was such a wonderful support for me in the early years, because she was in her 80s when she died, and she'd seen and done a lot of things, and she helped me in the early years of the 1990s when I was trying to work out what the heck was happening to my life. I saw her last Thursday, I think it was, or maybe about 7 days ago, at the nursing home where she died. And I left her in the room as Yeva Gladwin in a physical body, and then she died. And now Yeva Gladwin's experience is that experience is over, and now she is expanded consciousness, which is what she was before she had this experience, is now the experience is over, and it's the same with all of us. So that's the worst that can happen. You see, because they've brought about this fear of death, it's means that it frightens us into inaction if we think there could be a danger of doing something to make a difference. So, you know, let's let go of that for a start. That's the worst that can happen. And it is just an experience. The question is not whether we will become consciousness in awareness of itself again. The question is, what kind of experience do you want?
Yes, that's right.
What kind of experience do you want your children and grandchildren to have? Do you want them to live out the rest of their time here? In a control system which controls every aspect of their lives down to the fine detail, including their thoughts, that uses drugs to control their sense of reality so they love their servitude. I mean, what is that what we want? Well, if we don't, let's get active. But for goodness sake, we need to lose this self-identity that we are little me and our name and our job, like I said earlier, because if we go through this period and we believe that's who we are, then it's going to be a very, very challenging few years that we're going into. If you can move that and realize you are consciousness, eternal conscious, having an experience, then the intensity of the experience and the fear of doing what's necessary is far less than it is if you get caught in little me mode, who I am is my body, my job, and all the rest of it I talked about. This shift of awareness, this shift of self-identity is fundamental to getting through this and to accessing those levels of awareness that are going to guide us and intuitively lead us to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right things to make the best contribution. You know, once you start to access that level of consciousness, and it's not some people can do it, anyone can do it, it's just whether you make the choice to do it and deprogram yourself from belief systems and five sense imposed and programmed senses of reality and self that open the channels to access that level of awareness. Once you do that, you don't say anymore, now, can you help me? What should I do? You don't ask those questions anymore, because intuitively, knowingly, you know what your contribution needs to be.
Yeah.
Through your intuitive awareness, your consciousness, a consciousness beyond mind, which is a very, very low level of awareness. It's actually the village idiot compared with consciousness. That's why we get into this mess when we fall into mind-only awareness. That's why we do stupid things and get caught in these traps. This consciousness shift, this self-identity shift, and what we need to do to challenge this control system are as one. They're fundamentally connected.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, David. Everyone has a purpose here. And again, think about it. Stay on top of things. And just as David said, take a step back and take a deep breath as well. Get the perspective on things. And yet, on top of that, be aware of what the heck is going on right now. But I think we'll round things up for this time, David. I want to say here again that you don't want to miss David's talk here in Gothenburg, October 24th. Come there, meet up with some people. Tickets are available now at anarchos.se. Links will be up on redicecreations.com as well. Again, David's website, davidicke.com. Go over there, check it out. Thank you very much for coming on, David, and keep up the great work, okay?
It's a pleasure, Henrik. And just one final thing. There's a famous song where there's a line in it, freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. And we are going to realize that when we lose our attachment for things, when we lose our attachments to many things that we feel are vital to our lives, we are going to realize that freedom really is another word for nothing left to lose. And this is going to be a great collective awakening, which the challenges themselves are going to help to bring about.
Damn right. Thank you very much, David.
Cheers, Henrik.
All right, that's our program. Thank you very much for listening and, of course, for paying attention. We'll be back soon with more radio. Kevin P. Miller will join us to talk about his film Generation RX. Cliff High from halfpasthuman.com will talk about the Webbot project. We also have program 2 with Andrew D. Bashago coming up, so keep an eye on redicecreations.com. Sign up for a membership on our website and get full access to our archives and all the other material that we have available for you. Help us spread the word, tell your friends, and get the information out there. Also, we will be over in Ireland for the Lisbon Treaty vote, the second one. This is October 1st and 2nd. Consider joining us there if you're from a country that have been denied a vote on this treaty. Show yourself and let the people of Ireland know before they vote what you think about the fact that you've been denied a vote on a treaty that in effect will change the constitution in your country and also favor an expansion of a European empire, including an unelected president and all the rest of it. If you're in any doubt about this, please listen to our programs on this issue that we've done with David Icke. About a month ago, we also interviewed two members of the European Parliament, Martha Andreasen and Nigel Farage, on the corruption within the EU. We've also talked with two different groups that are in Ireland, Truth Coalition Ireland and Wise Up Journal, on what is going to happen over in Ireland at the beginning of October. But we'll be back soon, so stay sharp.